Please be seated. We just finished singing, "Be glad and shout, you righteous ones, and in the Lord rejoice." We're looking forward to continuing in that sense of joy that we experience because of the salvation that we enjoy in Jesus Christ. And in this 130th Psalm, the 11th Song of Ascents, the psalmist has a deep sense of his sinfulness. Not only his sinfulness, but the sinfulness of the people of God as they're making their way up on a festive occasion to worship there in Jerusalem. He cries out of the depths because he understands that when he compares his life with that character of God, as we read there in Deuteronomy chapter 5, he and those around him understand how far short they fall of the righteousness that God calls forth from his people. And so last Lord's Day, we considered the blessing that we find in the first four verses of this psalm, where we're reminded if we confess sin, the slate is erased, and we therefore are seen as upright in Jesus Christ. And so, in verses 1 and 2, there is a cry for forbearance. And then we saw in verses 3 and 4, there is confidence in forgiveness. And now, as we consider the last four verses of Psalm 130, we'll see how the Lord calls upon us to be about the business of waiting and of hoping. And so if you haven't already turned in your Bible to that 130th Psalm, please do so. And if you're using the Bible there in the pew and a page number is helpful, you'll find our Psalm is on page 969. May the Holy Spirit enable each one of us to hear the words of this psalm as though they are indeed the very breath of God. Because if we do so, our hearts will be taught, they will be rebuked, they will be corrected, they will be trained in righteousness. So let's heed now the Holy Spirit as he speaks to us. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, keep a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my trust. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, continue to bring joy to our hearts as once again we're reminded of your covenant love, your faithfulness to your promises. And as we wait and watch and hope, may we rejoice in the great salvation that we enjoy and which we anticipate. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The psalmist promises Israel and those who name the name of Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Therefore, I maintain that the admonition of verses 5 through 8 is, now that our sins are forgiven and the slate erased, we live for our full redemption expectantly. We live for our full redemption expectantly. The psalmist and every one of us here this morning who have experienced the grace of God unto our repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, take comfort that as God has begun His work of salvation in our lives, we will work then our salvation out with fear and trembling, knowing that He is at work within us, both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. Therefore, we're given to wait, to watch, and to hope. Let's consider what the psalmist has to say about each of these characteristics, because then we will be able to heed the admonition, now that our sins are forgiven and the slate erased, we live for our full redemption expectantly. So first then, we wait. At the outset of verse 5, we read, I wait for Yahweh. I didn't know what Tim was going to use for our call to worship. But the word that is found here in this fifth verse that's translated waits is used in Isaiah, the passage that Tim read. Isaiah 40 and verses 30 and 31. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We who remember Chariots of Fire, remember that this is that passage from Isaiah that was portrayed when Eric Little said, I will not run my race because I would have to run a heat on the Lord's day. And as the Olympians were running that Lord's day, this was read, and Eric was in worship. And it's in this passage, and those who hope in the Lord will have their strength renewed. It's the same word the psalmist uses here in this fifth verse. I wait upon the Lord. Endure patiently, knowing God will act decisively for the salvation of His people. We who travel great lengths in our automobiles with children experience, don't we, that often repeated question, are we there yet? And we say, just be patient. You'll know when we're there. And really what we're saying is, wait. Endure patiently because we will arrive at our promised destination. But is it simply a mental resolve to wait? No. How are we to wait? We're to wait with our soul.
We're to wait with our soul, every fiber of our being. For the Hebrew, when the Hebrew would hear this word nephesh, the Hebrew would think all the way back there to Genesis. And the Hebrew would remember there that second chapter, how God records through Moses, he took the dust and he fashioned man. And he breathed into the nostrils of that man the breath of life. And he became nephesh chaya, a living soul. So as we wait eagerly, expectantly, confidently upon the Lord, we do so emotionally. We do so intellectually. We do so psychologically. We do so with every fiber of our being. That's what the psalmist is talking about when he says, I wait upon the Lord. My soul waits. There's nothing of me that isn't waiting for the Lord. And as we're reminded of Simeon, as I was reading Calvin's sermons, Songs of the Nativity, Simeon, that Hebrew who lived there in Jerusalem, who was righteous and devout, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Can you imagine what it was like for Simeon to live out his life waiting for the Lord to fulfill that promise? I'm not going to die until I see the long-awaited Messiah. My soul waits for the Lord. For when the Lord comes, then there will be fullness of salvation for Israel. We wait our full redemption expectantly because we know our sins are forgiven and the slate is wiped clean. I wait for Yahweh. My soul waits. My soul waits for Yahweh. The psalmist talks about more than waiting, doesn't he? The psalmist talks about watching. We watch. My soul waits for Yahweh more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Literally, if we take it right from the Hebrew, my soul for Yahweh. More than watchers for the morning, watching for the morning. How are we to watch? We're to watch as sentinels watch. Now, it's hard for us to appreciate what it means for the Hebrew to talk about the sentinel. Because for us, our sentinel today is miles and miles away in a satellite that watches the affairs of men and nations. And it's amazing that from that satellite, miles and miles away, you can zero in on a particular location and watch someone brushing their teeth. But you see, we're talking about an Old Testament sentinel. There's no sense of a satellite. The picture is that of a watchman up on the wall. And the watchman has the night shift. The watchman clocks in at 11 and clocks out at 7. And the watchman is waiting expectantly, eagerly for the break of dawn. Now, I know there are college students who sometimes pull all-nighters. And depending on how well the studies are going, depends on how much you want the dawn to come. Well, I don't want to tell you about the all-nighter. It ended up with an F on the test. I fell asleep during the test. Oh, well. I remember speaking to someone who was reminding college students that the things that the business world really looks for is how many all-nighters do you pull? You see, the fear is if you're pulling all-nighters, you're going to sleep on the job. Just a thought. Anyway. The sentinel up there on the wall, watching. Come on, sunlight. That's the posture of the people of God who are aware of sin in our lives. And we confess that sin. And we know the slate is erased as we confess that sin. And we wait, watching for the Spirit of God to bring about the cleansing of ourselves from that sin. And we watch. And we watch as the sentinel watches. We eagerly anticipate the washing of the sin from our life. Because we trust in Jesus and His shed blood for the washing of ourselves, of our sins. My soul waits for the Lord. My soul watches for the Lord. Who will do what? Who will completely deliver me from sin? Our full redemption is that for which we are to be sentinels. When God's Spirit convicts us of a sin, and we go to the Lord confessing our sin, trusting in His finished work that provides for us the forgiveness of our sin, we understand the slate is wiped clean, we're cleansed. Do we trust that sin is then erased from us experientially so that we no longer are enslaved to that sin? We wait and we watch for that sin to be out of our life because of Christ Jesus. Not only do we wait with all our soul, not only do we watch as a sentinel watches, but we also hope. The normal word that's used to convey our English vocabulary idea of hope is used twice in these four verses. The psalmist speaks of hope in verse 5, and the psalmist speaks of hope in verse 7. In His Word I put my hope. O Israel, put your hope in Yahweh. We encounter the word hope in the Bible. It's far more than wishful thinking. Hope in the Bible is not a pacifying wish of the imagination which drowns out troubles. It's far more than what Norman Vincent Peale talks about in his Power of Positive Thinking. It's not simply that we think positively and therefore the sin goes away. Not at all. Our eager expectation of the eradication of sin is rooted how? In the Word and in Yahweh. In the Word first, according to verse 5. Just as Jesus lived by every word that proceeded from the mouth of His Father, so we who by faith through grace are united, by grace through faith are united to Him. We too live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We don't need a bridle in our mouth. When we're in Christ, the Holy Spirit places the law in our hearts. And so we go through life. I will not have another God before me. I go through life. I will not worship in a way I'm not to worship. I will not talk about Him in a way I ought not to talk about Him. I will remember the Sabbath day. I will honor my parents. I will not murder. I will not commit adultery. I will not steal. I won't talk down on other people. I won't covet. We live our lives that way, not with this as some sort of a law that directs us, the grace of God is in our hearts, directing us to live out of the fullness of that law. And we hope that in Christ Jesus, just as that Word directed His thoughts, His words, and His feet, so that Word directs our thoughts, our speech, and our feet. Read Psalm 119 this afternoon and refresh your heart about the place of the Word in the life and heart of the Christian. But it's not simply a book, is it, in which our hope is placed? But it's in the author of this book, to whom this book directs our attention ultimately. It is in Yahweh Himself. Jesus, that our hope ultimately rests. Because it's as we're in Jesus that we enjoy the mercy of God that does not keep record of our sin. And it's in that loving kindness of God that He forgives us our sins. And that's exactly what the Israelites were reminded every time they would sing Psalm 120 to Psalm 134 as they went up to Jerusalem, to Zion, to the temple, where they would offer those bloody sacrifices year after year after year. These point to the coming of Jesus. And it's with the advent of Jesus that Simeon was able to say, "Thank you, I've been waiting and now I've seen Him, I may die." We live this side of Jesus' first advent. Are we living as Simeon lived, hoping in the Word, hoping in Jesus that we too will see Him at His coming and praise God for the full redemption that is ours, the complete eradication of sin from our lives and our being ushered in to the new heavens and the new earth wherein righteousness dwells forever and ever. Is that what we're waiting and hoping for because of the salvation that we enjoy in Jesus Christ? Realizing that sins are forgiven and the slate is erased, do we live our lives in eager expectation of the full redemption that is promised us in Christ Jesus at His return? Because when we live in light of eternity post Christ's coming, we live lives this side, confessing sin, knowing forgiveness, and knowing cleansing, so that we appreciate the promises of Psalms such as this experientially now. But we have to recognize there are sins in our lives even now over which we're not victorious. And I'm thinking of a beloved friend of mine who's since gone to be with the Lord, who struggled with addiction to that 3-inch weed that used to hang out of his mouth. And it's because he was enslaved to that 3-inch weed that he would cry out to God for forgiveness, and he would ask God for deliverance, and he would tell me how he was so earnestly giving himself, "Lord, forgive me, please deliver me," that he was so addicted he'd reach over and light while he was praying that prayer. And there are some of us here this morning who are dealing with such a sin. But this psalm, yes, the entire scriptures, remind us that when the Spirit of God convicts us of sin, and we confess that sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. And so we wait, we watch, and we hope in the Word and ultimately in Jesus Christ. And as Christ has control of our lives, moment will come when we will pray and not reach over any longer. This morning, if there's a sin in your life that you're struggling with, cry out to God, "Be merciful to me, the sinner that I am. And yet again, I put this sin before you and your holy throne, and I rest in Jesus and Jesus alone for my forgiveness and my cleansing." And back away from that sin and watch, wait, and hope, and experience the deliverance that God promises even now. But ultimately, ultimately, it's not so that we can live on and on and on in this body, in this condition. Brothers and sisters, we're looking forward to Jesus Christ's return, when we'll never again have to struggle with sin. That's the heart of the psalmist who is waiting and hoping. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Usher in the new heavens and the new earth. That's where I look forward to living. This side of there, we hate sin, and we find victory in Jesus over that sin. Now that our sins are forgiven and the slate is erased, we live for our full redemption expectantly. Amen. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the joy that this psalm brings to our heart. When we struggle with sin, there is deliverance in Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. May we see as Simeon saw the Savior as He impacts our lives day by day as we seek the mortification of sin and the expression of Christ and His righteousness in and through us. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.